Howdy. Any Gideons here? Yeah, there you go. The message is blank, you see, so, wow. You know, and I told Bill Buck, I dreamed this last night that nobody showed up. I really did. And, I don't know. But we're here. God's here, right? A lot of umming going on up here. In John 10, I'm just going to read a little bit of this. John 10, 1 through a little bit. It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the shepherd's sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I'm going to jump around this morning, and I just ask that you just put something upon my heart, Lord. I'm a little nervous here, a little scared, and I just pray that you'll lead me where you want me to go, Lord, and somehow we'll get there. And through you, we will get there, Lord. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. This text has been on my heart because I love the part. Well, I love the whole text, don't get me wrong. But when it talks about that we hear Jesus' voice, we know his voice, and we follow that voice. And if you're not hearing Jesus' voice, you're not listening. I can tell you that right now, because God wants us to be where he wants us to be, and he will move us there. And that rod and thy staff, and I'm a good sheep. I don't know about you. I'm glad. I like the picture that he's the shepherd. I love that he's the shepherd, because I'm a pretty good sheep. I can be pretty stubborn, and I like to stumble around a little bit and maybe not go quite, maybe a lot of times don't go where he wants me to go. But when you hear his voice and follow, it's such a blessing. And I know I shared this with a Sunday school class a while back about that. I'm really losing my train of thought up here, but just give me a minute. Lord help me. Well, I'll go somewhere else for right now. But about 3 weeks ago, I was out the river, and I hurt my back. And one of the guides I was with, a friend of mine, said, "I'll take you to Pierdon, the chiropractor." And I said, "All right." So we were mussing around. This other guy, I know him, he lived in Bryan all his life. And Todd says, "I'll go with you." And well, then Don says, "Oh, you know, why don't you two go? And then I'll stay and work on my boat." And as we got in the vehicle, we headed down, and I know what church Todd grew up in, and I don't think they've probably ever been to church since then. And we were going, I was trying to get comfortable with my back hurting, and Todd said to me, he says, "Boy, that was something about Dale dying last fall." And I said, "Yeah, it was," and I was trying to get comfortable, and I felt kind of that the Lord's that staff, you know, that he guides us with, whacked me over the head a few times, and that was something, Todd. And a friend of mine died, and most of you have heard that story, and I said, "Wow, Todd," I says, "Dale, you know, about a week before he died, he asked me what I thought about dying." And Todd goes, "Really?" And I says, "Yeah." And I told him I wasn't a big fan of it right now, but then we laughed, and he says, "You know what I mean." And I know I've shared that with you. I preached the gospel to Dale, and I told Todd, you know, and I says, "You know, in Romans, you know, it tells us we're all sinners, you know. There's no one righteous." And I says, "You know, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And I said, "Well, you know, these aren't my words, Todd." And I says, "They're God's words." I said, "Do you believe that?" And, well, he says, "You know, I suppose there's some people better than others." And I said, "No, I'm no better than you, Todd. Just because I walk around preaching church once in a while." I says, "Why do you think that?" And well, I don't know. And I said, well, should I be done with my sermon? He goes, you know, I'm really enjoying this. So for 1 hour, we got to go, and I got to preach the gospel to him. And I was just so happy with him, or to be able to do that and share with him. Because I know, and I think now today I'm going to take my son home, and I know his dad's in the nursing home, and I know he's not doing very well, and I'd like to stop if I have the courage to do that after today. But I'd like to do that with him. And you know, as I read today in 2 Corinthians, you know, that anyone that is in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away. And I got to tell you, in my life, some of that old likes to try to come up and bite me once in a while, and it still does. And I'll tell you what, I'll share this with you. I think Pastor Brian and my son is probably the only ones that probably heard how I came to know Jesus Christ. And it was 1999, it was Easter morning, and me and my family got up to go to church. And I'd been golfing the day before, and I got to tell you, I was so hungover. We got so drunk that day and that night, and we got to church that Easter morning, and this is true. Maybe it's painful, maybe some of you don't want to hear it, but it's my testimony. And we got to church there, and I knew I wasn't going to make it. I was getting sick, so I got up, and I started walking out of church, and some of my friends that were with us the day before were giving me the thumbs up. That's really cool that you're so hungover that you have to leave your family in church. And I did. I had to walk out of church because I was so sick. And as I walked in my tie and shirt about 4 blocks home, I thought, this is crazy. You know, I truly heard the voice, is this about enough? And right then, I didn't know that was probably God's voice, or it was God's voice speaking to me. And I got home, and my wife and kids come home, and they went on to Sue's folks for Easter dinner, and I was too sick to go. Really proud of myself that I had done this on Easter morning of any mornings. And the next day, I had an old Bible at the lumberyard, and I picked it up, and I started reading. And I'm going to be very honest with you, it didn't mean much to me. I looked at it. It didn't mean much. I read the words, but and about 3 days later, what a coincidence, you know. What a coincidence. Don't you love that word? When a gentleman walked in and we were talking, he goes, you know, there's a Bible study in Lake Norton. Would you ever want to go with me? Because he didn't want to go because he was kind of scared to go. And how God just turned everything for me. And I went there, and I'll tell you, that night he put a fire in me that I just... And then I shared with Brian, as we were growing in this Bible study, there was a lot of new believers. And I told Brian that after about a couple months, I got so depressed. Everybody was so fired up. And Brian says, why would you get depressed? Because I seen Mike Barker for who Mike Barker was. And that really, really depressed me. I mean, that just really sent me into, not that I quit going or quit reading my Bible, but I finally seen me, who I was. And now I look at some people and they say, man, look at them guys. Don't they have any thoughts about, you know, about God or anything? And I can relate to that very well because that's who I was. That's who I was. I mean, I never ever thought about God. I just thought... And Connie, the beautiful song we sang today, you know, soon and very soon we will see the King. I've lost 5 friends in the last about 2 years that are 50-some years old suddenly. Lost one last week again that died just suddenly from a heart attack. Soon and very soon we will see the King. I hope you're all ready. If not, he's waiting there with open arms. Somebody asked me once how I know he can save anybody. I told them very simply, because he saved me. And if he saved me, he can save anybody. So soon, very soon, we will see. John just passed away last week. Just suddenly, he was just sitting in his chair, and he was gone, 56 years old. And it's just, it's all, I mean, when you hear God's voice, that our scripture says, you know, we follow him. It's his voice that we follow. It's not mine. It's not Brian's. It's God's voice that we follow. And I just encourage you to share your faith. I mean, if we are in Christ, we are that new creation. That old, I know it likes, if maybe you don't have that in your life, but I have it in mind. The old likes to rise up once in a while, and I wonder where that comes from, but it does. And I just encourage all of you to share your faith that that people need to hear God's word. And here, we need to share with each other here to build each other up, to share that love. I mean, that's what it's about. If anybody would like to come up and give a little testimony, I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you, Lord. Love you, brother.
As I was praying with him in Pastor Bryant's office there, these words come to me. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from them. It's interesting when I'm so thankful for Christian moms and dads who bring their children up in the Lord. That's so important because they will not turn from it. They might walk from it a little bit, but they aren't going to turn from it. The other day when we were up in a blessing to have a new grandchild, but the other day Linda was and Corey were taking Davis to get his birthday present. And on the way back, they came to an intersection, and as they turned, here was a woman laying face down on the highway or the street there, and her bicycle was at her side. And here came a car and drove right by her, and then Corey pulled over in the middle, and he went over to see how she was. Well, the woman had fallen off the front of the bike. She doesn't know how that happened. Had a helmet on, thankfully, but was scarred up or scratched in the face, and her arm had a big lump on it. And she says, I'm a nurse, and I'm sure I probably broke my arm. And so Corey put the bike in the trunk, and she got in the front seat, and they gave her a ride home. She called her husband on the way home to tell him that what she'd done and that he would be there. So anyhow, they got to the home and they dropped her off. After they dropped her off, then Davis, who's 9, said, Dad, we should pray for her. And Corey says, well, why don't you pray for her then? And so it's just a marvelous prayer how he thanked God that they went to get his birthday present and be able to come down that road to that street and to that place where that woman had fallen. And I told, and I shared this with Davis too. I said, you know, there's a parable about that. It's about the Good Samaritan. I said, you were a Good Samaritan. I'm so thankful for that. For a Christian home that brings their children up to stop and pray. I know it's emotional, but I'm so thankful. It's tears of happiness. So I just pray as you bring your children up, grandchildren, that you might be witnesses to them. Davis was a witness to us. Thank you.
We have another one. I thought it was off the book.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't expecting this like no one is, I guess, and really I have no right in my closet where I have the notes of the whole story and how it all came about, and maybe it's been quite a few years now, so but I think I can get the gist of it out. I felt God's hand on me since I was little. I can remember in Sunday school, we lived in the suburbs of the Twin Cities, and I can just remember coming home from church, and I just could feel the glow and everything. Didn't understand it, just felt it. And so I was raised in the church. Sounds like you were raised in the church too. And so I heard the whole story. I memorized the story. I didn't get it. I still didn't get it. So there was a big event in our lives that really kind of changed us from filling pews to actually kind of, I don't know what you call it, just start walking with God. And so I was a good Luther. I did all the things, you know, and like I said, I did my share of drinking, but it wasn't my biggest, and the biggest thing I had was the love of money and success. That was my drive. That was my demon. And if you know me, I'm a veterinarian. I graduated in 1974. Yeah, we're in Minnesota. Graduated from Minnesota, so we went out and practiced out in Hutchinson, Minnesota, which is just about an hour west of the Twin Cities. I couldn't find a position, so we just started our own clinic there with the help of an old veterinarian that was. We used a lot of our horses at the family. The family using the horses, so he was good enough to help me out. So we got started within a few months, a neighboring practice, the multi-man practice, offered me a position with the hope of partnership. So, hey, everything's going good. Everything's going away. We're working hard and everything, and got in this other practice, and their practice was really steaming. It was three of us, and we had a lot of business, and we're making a lot of money. So that was all good, you know. And then After it was 4 or 5 years, and then even though I was young and in pretty good shape and everything, that it was kind of started wearing on me. Maybe not as much physically as mentally. We only took a couple of days off a month, and if we worked nights, we always worked several calls every night, and usually till midnight or something. And Sundays, if you're on call, you might take from 8 to 14 calls a day for the Sunday tennis spinner. So one Sunday night, I think it was like in January, yeah, and I had been out all day. I was on call Sunday, and I was on the call all day, and I finally got my call list done. I was heading down to the new practice in Glencoe, and I turned the corner and had one more cup of cold coffee in my thermos, and so I was pouring that out, and then the radio started squawking. After a while, when the radio squawks or the telephone rings, you just get, at least I get, just my guts would just go, whoa. They just tighten up, and I just and it was the right reaction, because then there was another call. So I head back up north in Silver Lake, and here was the farmer had a milk fever, and it was early in the process, and the whole thing was fine. And so if you remember the old milk barns, they had stanchions in them, and then had a big alley in the middle, and the cows on each side. So usually a veterinarian always starts in the back end of the cow. It's usually, so you take the temperatures and kind of look at it and listen to her lungs, her heart, and everything. And yeah, I think he was right. I think she was just coming down with milk fever. She had calved just a little bit ago. So the next thing is to get in your bag, get your calcium solution, walk around, back out to the opening door, come around the feed alley in front of the stanchions and tie her up. Well, and then give her an intravenous in the neck. And so I noticed when I was made the corner and started walking up in front of her that I started getting a little shaky, a little uneasy, dizzy. And so, well, I caught her and I tied her up, and then it got worse. And so he had a concrete... If you ever saw those concrete feed bunks they had in front of the stanchion, they had a little stoop about 3 foot high, and I had to sit down. And then, uh, and then, And then it just got worse. And so then I actually, the barn started going around and around and around. So, you know, I was around 30 years old at this time, and all of a sudden, I couldn't even sit up. So I ended up on the floor, on the feed floor, right feed alley, and the barn just circled around, and I says, you better call an ambulance. I'm not going to walk out of here. And so the ambulance came. the farmer thought I was drunk. And, well, that has happened in veterinarians in our county. And so they told me off. I hadn't had a drink. I had been too busy to drink that day. So took me to the hospital, and our doctor said, oh, you just got a real bad case of flu. Well, just hang on. I'd have to hold on to the rails and the bed in the hospital so I didn't roll out. It was just kind of moving me, and then that's kind of went away. And then I was sitting up a day or so later, and I was finally starting to eat again and everything, and oh, yeah, everything's going to be fine, and we'll be back. Calls are piling up. I'll be back and working not too long. And so I was Edie Penny was there. She was there all the time for me, and all of a sudden she says, why are you eating with your left hand? And I'm right-handed, and I was eating my food with the left hand, and it turned out that here my right hand was partially paralyzed. I had no real good control of it, so somehow in my head I just switched over here and didn't even think about it. Turns out the long story is that I had a stroke, and they don't know exactly what happened. There's a little piece of my brain that died that day. And it was, they did all their fancy stuff. They couldn't find a plug vessel. So they figured the stress had caused the blood vessel to spasm and contract down long enough to this little part of the brain didn't have oxygen and died. So I had partial paralysis on my right side. My speech wasn't quite right. I still don't write as nice as I used to and everything. So it seemed like, and that just brought my whole world down. My whole deal was to make a bunch of money, pull the pin that, maybe in 20 years or something, and just live the good life. And all that was gone. I always had the physical and mental the strength to just bull through anything. They couldn't have a wall that stopped me. But boom, there it was. Because I remember a lot of times coming home late at night, and I says, well, I'm tired and things aren't quite right, but I still have my health. And so God, and his, God knows everything, he had to take my health away from me before I started looking to him. And then in that bed, then that's when it started my walk with him. And I was out of work for, a month or so. They really needed me back. I started back, and it all just started over again. So then I decided to get out of practice and take another. But when you're on your back in the hospital room looking at the ceiling, and finally I started communicating with God. And wasn't too long. I was in meat inspection for a while. And right at that time, the revelations, then it really started started revealing to me. Because then I started to question. I says, why did Jesus die on the cross? Why did Jesus die on the cross? I don't get it. I know he died for my sins. Why did he have to die on the cross? And it was like Mike said, it's because I'm as bad as any of them. I'm not any better than anyone else. And I'm a sinner, and I was conceived that way, born that way. And I'm as low as any. And that's the only way God could bring me to himself, is that his own son had to die for the payment of my sins. And that it was, God revealed that to me. And turns out this, what started out to be the most devastating thing in my life, turned about to be one of the biggest blessings our family ever had. Yeah, and so praise God, I think I've gone on enough, but it just keeps going from there, right? It just keeps, you keep listening, and he's talking, you just have to listen, and then pray for his grace and his faith. And my prayer is, Lord, I believe, help me with my disbelief, because I fight it every day. I can't believe all the things he's done for me and how I can, like the hymns really hit me today, how I can wander considering all the things he's done for me, and I still tend, it's, my nature's still there. So it's a battle every day. So praise God.
This is how church is supposed to be, isn't it? Isn't it? Nobody shows up to speak, and God just moves people to speak. Come on up, brother.
I'm Kevin Nelson. When Bill Buck was talking, boy, my heart started to pound, but I'm better now. Boy, because I've had atrial fibrillation. But and first thing I did when I knew that this guy was going to be the main speaker was a pray that the spirit of fear be driven away. I made so much decisions in my life based on fear, because of fearing something, and they were wrong, and they were some of them were really wrong, and some of them were really years of being wrong. And so my heart was pounding because yesterday my wife and I went to a wedding down in Sioux Falls, and I talked with the woman Lee Rains, who fell from the bicycle, and God, I'm going to have to go up. Yeah, because my heart was pounding because God was right there in me. Not you guys, not anybody in the world. But God, when God is right in front of you, and you do what he wants. Because no matter if you're living or dead or dying, if God is there, you're in the right place. I mean, I've certainly seen that in my life history. I really like the thing on the Good Shepherd and his sheep. The sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out through the gate. And that's how he is. That's how he is. The first from 2 Corinthians. We have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. I mean, I've always evaluated people from a human point of view, but I'm learning that's not the way to do it. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. Now, right now, is right now, today. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us his this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Huh. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. I was the worst judge, so I thought, of others and myself. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God has made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right through God, through Christ, with God through Christ. And I'm really glad about that one. I've heard it many times. Train a person when they're young, when they're a kid, and no matter what happens when they're 20 and know everything, you know, during the years when they're young adults and they're off on various ways, they can come back. And I certainly was trained when I was a youth, and until I remember confirmation and going to Sunday school and Outlaw Ranch and everything. My mother Esther, who was born on August 13th, 1907. But she was born on August 13th. That's Kelly's and I's wedding day. But I never heard my mother, and I lived with her for 27 years, never heard her speak of being bad luck for anything on her birthday, which happened on Fridays every so often, every number of years. One thing I wanted to say about Kelly, she, in her later on, she did go through a first marriage, and then she prayed for her next husband to be a Christian, and whose name began with K. We didn't, and that he was a good cook. She was called a microwave queen early in her life. But anyway, I wouldn't say a prayer like that for any specific things, but that's what she did. Anyway, we hope, I will end it with, I hope to be acting more of a Christian all the time from this point forward.
Thank you. When Reg said, you know, he was a good Lutheran, I remember when I had the first time they asked me to speak in church, and I'd went to church for 45 years and sat in the pew. I was a pretty good pew potato or couch potato, whatever you want to call it. And the first time they asked me to speak, and about halfway through my message, I said, you know, I've only been a Christian for about a year. And boy, after church, I'll tell you, I caught heck from a lot of my friends. They asked me why I would say something like that up in front of them. You know, we went to church together all these years, and I think it really called them, you know, to look at their own faith. And so when you said that, I thought, yeah, I sat there for 45 years, and I thought I was doing what I was supposed to do, you know, come to church, put my hour in and that. But you know, God leads us in the Skeven read again about listening to his voice. You know, when we just trust him to give him everything in our life. And about a couple weeks ago, God Is Not Dead was in Bryant. And I was hauling fertilizer for Senex, and we were working until about 10 o'clock every night. Well, Friday, it looked like a short day, and I was going to get to go to the movie. And while Friday night coming, we had to go clear north of Hazel, and I didn't get to the movie. I was really ticked off. I wanted to see this movie. I mean, I thought, come on, Lord, I want to see this movie. Well, on Saturday, same thing happened. I was going to go Saturday night to the show, and if you haven't seen it, please go see it. It's a wonderful movie. And Saturday afternoon, about 6 o'clock, they said, well, you got to head west to Willow Lake. And I thought, I'm not going to get home until 10 o'clock again. And Sue goes, well, I'm going to the show. And I started leaving town, and I thought, man, all I want to do is go see this show. You know, why can't I go see this show, Lord? And all of a sudden, I mean, I truly felt his hand upon my heart. And I thought, you know, he's going to get me to that movie when he wants me to see that movie. And I had such a peace, I told Sue, that, I mean, I was just absolutely just at peace. Well, Sunday came, and it worked out, and guess what? I went to the movie. And I get to the movie, and the movie's over, and I spoke at a young man's funeral last summer, 21 years old, that got killed in a motorcycle accident. His mom and his sister were there. So after the movie, it was packed. They had to turn people away, and I made my way over to them, and I talked with them for a minute. And people are trying to get out, and I look over, and here sits a couple that I've spoken their church in Willow Lake quite a few times, and they're just sitting there. They're not moving. So I walked over, and I says, Larry, how are you doing? And he looked up at me, and he says, you know, I'm not doing very good, Mike. He says, my mom fell, and she hit her head, and she's a brain aneurysm, and we're just kind of waiting for her to pass away. And I went, okay, God, I get the message. That's why I was supposed to come to the movie tonight. I mean, I just trusted him, and I said, Larry, let's pray. And I mean, people are going out, and I think it was just a wonderful time to witness to other people. I mean, me and him and his wife, we held hands, and I got to pray with him. And I thought, man, maybe, Lord, you do know where I'm supposed to be. You know, I mean, duh, oh, Mike, you know, pretty hard-headed. But you know, God is great, isn't he? I mean, our speaker didn't show up, but this is just wonderful, the people that just get up and just share. I've never been a part of that before, like I say, until I came here. And the tears are great. And, Bill, I really related to what you said about when my grandson will call me on something, when we're out at McDonald's or something, hey, we going to pray? Yeah, you know, I mean, to let the children lead like a child. Let's sing. Let's pray. I'll pray first, Connie. Father in heaven, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for before church we fret and we worry, and as your servant Paul told me, you know what, Mike, it'll all work out. And thank you, Lord, we just trust you, and you led us into a beautiful time of sharing and just loving each other, Lord, and we thank you for that. Lord, we just ask that you be with all of us and our families all week, Lord, and just give us the strength, Lord, to, when we hear your voice, to act on it. Just to act on it and follow you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Let's sing hymn number 297. Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
Oh, I just loved hearing all those stories and testimonies, and I think most of us have something we could share. And it made me think of a scripture, or scriptures in the Old Testament, where God had his people, the children of Israel, set up stones of remembrance and altars, and they would go back to those and remember, what has God done for us? And so that's why testimonies are so good. They build us up, and I hope you guys feel so filled up by that as I do today. It sends me on cloud nine. So, and God's grace is so much greater than our sin. Praise God.